prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sex trafficking, have you ever heard of that? So each year, millions of men, women, and children endure the evil of sex trafficking, exploitation, and slavery. It's a worldwide epidemic, and some estimate that it's a very lucrative and profitable business, bringing in about $150 billion. Others say that there are 27 million victims, and the average age is only 12 years old. It is also estimated that more people, especially children, are enslaved today than at any other time in human history, right now. Leah Rogers was a victim of sex trafficking. Leah, unfortunately, wasn't reared in a home with a loving father and a loving mother. Leah, at this tender age, when she was brought into this world, was brought into this world by a mother who was addicted to drugs, an absentee father, didn't even know who her dad was. And by the tender age of 6 years old, she had been molested by her uncle. You talk about having a rough life. 6 years old. By 13, she was placed into child protective services in a group home. And while she was there, she began to work in a daycare. And the woman who worked in the daycare loved her, wanted the best for her. But the woman who owned the daycare, her husband, ended up taking her in a back room and molesting her at 13 years old. Molested at 6, molested at 13. This is what this girl is being used to. At 18, Leah was free to leave the group home, but already at this point had a one-year-old daughter whom she loved, really crazy love on this daughter, but she didn't know where to go. She had no money. Her mother was just now in a rehab. She had become a born-again Christian, her mom did, and was getting her life right with God and with herself, but she couldn't go home to her mom. So at 18, she was trying to figure out, what should I do with my life? And in Leah's mind, she thought, well, men are attracted to me. This is the way I'm accepted. They like my body. And in a distorted kind of way, she thought, well, this is the way I can make money then. I'll go and I'll dance in a strip club, and that's how I'll start to make money. Because in her mind, she thought, I'm only good for one thing, molestation, rape, and my body, because that's all I'm good for. That's what she thought. 18 years old. She started to work in this place, and she was there for 6 years doing this kind of work. And then at one point, a guy walked in who she thought was Prince Charming. Can somebody say, uh-oh? She dated this guy. She said, quote, he's so sweet. He would shower me with gifts. He knew how to say all the right things. He always made me feel wanted. Ladies, be careful. Why do I say that? Because men, not all men, but there are men out there who can be wolves in sheep's clothing. Women too. Amen. Amen. But probably more men than women. And so she was drawn into this guy. She was sucked in. Imagine, she's getting gifts. She's being told how much she's wanted. But then after a few months, the reality started to set in. And she knew that this man was not Prince Charming. He became very possessive. He started taking her away from her friends, with little friends she had, family members she couldn't associate with anymore. Then he started to do something weird. He started to take her IDs away. Then he did something that's even worse. He had her have a tattoo branded on her neck almost as if to say, you're my property now. And Leah, remember, she's the first time, it seems, being accepted by somebody seemingly who loves her. So she's falling into this hook, line, and sinker. There's nothing. He starts taking away everything, even her phone. He got really possessive to the point where he got jealous. He didn't want her speaking to the phone with anybody. He had to be in control of every little thing. Ladies, if somebody wants to be in control of your every move, it's time for you to move. Amen. Men too. He lured her and said, listen, we can have a better life if we just move to California. And she was sucked in and she ended up going. But on the way to California, she noticed something. He would make these stops and he would talk to women and then come back in the car. Then he'd make another stop in another state, talk to some women, then get back in the car. And it wasn't until they got to California when she realized, that's when I found out he was a pimp. Know what a pimp is? My wife is saying, don't say that word in church. But it's a reality. It's a word. But he was a John. He was a user. He was somebody who used other women to gain out of it. And he would use these women so that he could sell their bodies and be exploit them and make money out of it. And she, at that moment, realized he had a plan all along. It was not for me. It wasn't because he wanted to use me because I could be his valuable prize, because I could go and do this stuff. He forced her to have sex with complete strangers, and he told her, quote, if you leave me, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. And he says, if I can't find you, then I'm going to find your mother and I'm going to kill her. And if I can't find your mother, I'm going to find your daughter and I'll kill her. You talk about sex trafficking. You talk about being kidnapped. You talk about being lured subtly into this lifestyle, not knowing, thinking that the guy that you really were in love with was really using you all the time. And now you're in a trap and you do not know what to do. For the next 3 years, she was a big earner for him. And her captor dragged her across the Southwest, all the while recruiting other girls. And she tried to escape numerous times. And every time that she would try to escape, he'd catch her and he'd bring her back and he would beat her, sometimes pulling out whole clots of her hair out of her head. He would slap her. One time, he actually put her in the trunk of his car and drove from California to some other place and then got her out and told her, you're nothing without me. You either listen to me, and if you obey, none of this will happen. Sometimes burning her with her own cigarettes. 3 years old, 6 years old, rather, 13 years old, molested, gets into a lifestyle that she doesn't know what to do. Now she's a captor sex trafficker. While she was on a quote-unquote job with one of her clients, he pulled a gun out on her and was about to kill her. And he said, my plan was to come here, do what I want to do, then I was going to kill you, and then I'm going to turn the gun on myself and kill myself. And she pled with him, saying, please, please, let me live, let me live. And by God's grace, he walked out of that place and she survived. But it left her traumatized. She was a prisoner with no way of escape, kidnapped with no way out. I don't know if you know this, but like Leah, you and I were once prisoners. You and I were kidnapped. You and I were lured subtly, spiritually speaking, by somebody. Anybody know who that is? We were lured, first of all, by the devil. Satan took control of our lives before we knew Jesus. And we were kidnapped. You know, the Bible is really raw in what it says. The Bible says that all wrongdoing is sin. Anything that is wrong is sin. All wrongdoing. If you lie, it's a sin. If you steal, it's a sin. If you have committed adultery, it's sin. If you cheat on your husband, your wife, it's sin. All wrongdoing is sin. All wrongdoing. There's not little white lies, little black lies, little... All wrongdoing is sin, period. That's what the Bible says. Not what John DiGiorgio says. And how many of you are perfect? Raise your hand. None of you. Oh, I guess that's why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the ideal of God. God's ideal is, and his standard is perfection. How many of you are perfect? None of us. So that means that all of us are sinners in God's sight. All of us have done wrong. There is not one that is righteous. No, not one, the Bible says. All have fallen short. We have missed the mark. We have not reached the ideal of perfection that God wants for each one of us, like it was before Adam and Eve fell. Before Adam and Eve fell, they were perfect in God's sight. There was no sin in their lives, but then they fell. And when they fell, they broke communication with God, because God could not inhabit a world of sinfulness, because he's a holy and just God. Jesus says that those who sin, they're a slave to sin. You follow where I'm going with this? Isaiah said this, we were all dirty with sin. Even our good works were not pure. But Pastor, you don't understand. I bring a dozen cookies to my neighbor every week. Well, guess what? If you don't know Jesus and you're not born again, God says all your good works, they're like filthy rags. Blood-stained, blood-drenched rags. We are all like dead leaves. Our sins have carried us away like the wind, Isaiah 64:6. And those wrongdoings have caused a separation between us and our God. A roadblock, Isaiah 59:2. Because of that fact that we are sinners, it puts a roadblock there so we cannot communicate with God. It's a broken fellowship because God is holy and we are sinful. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, you and I were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our transgressions and sins. Anybody see or watch Walking Dead? Me and my wife, okay. So it's a pretty crazy show. I get it. There's like, it's disgusting. You don't have to go watch it. But I'm just saying, when I read this passage of scripture, I see those guys walking around. They're dead, but they're walking. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling us, that before we knew Jesus Christ, we were dead, spiritually dead, because of our transgressions and because of our sins. Before we knew Jesus, we were walking around on the outside, everything looked good, but on the inside, we were dead. We were cut off from God. We had no relationship with God. That's who we were prior to Christ. Spiritual zombies. The Bible says that we followed the ways of this world, influenced by this present age. We followed the rule of the destructive spiritual power, the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. We were under his control. Maybe you didn't know it. Maybe you thought I was a really good person. I brought flowers to my mom and my grandmama, and I did all these other good things. But the Bible says it like it is for you and me. And before we knew Jesus, we were filthy in God's sight. That's just plain and simple. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for lifting up my spirits. I'm just telling you like it is. For you were once darkness. I'm just quoting the scriptures here. It doesn't say you were like darkness. It says, for you were once darkness. When you're dead, or when a person dies, where do they put that person? In a coffin, closed up. Is there any light in there? Do you see the understanding of what God is trying to convey to us when we're dead in our trespasses and sins? We're dead. Lazarus was dead. But thank God Jesus came to the grave and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And it's the voice of God, it's the word of God that rejuvenates and makes us alive. It's God himself who quickens us and makes us alive. We cannot do it, because when you're dead, you cannot revive yourself. It takes a supernatural power and an entity, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the one who can speak and breathe life into your deadness and make you come alive again. Hallelujah. We were without hope and without God, but then something happened. I don't know about you, but on one day I was tired of being dead. I was tired of religiosity. I was tired of being just a plain old John. I knew I was a sinner and I knew I was bound to hell. And if some of you knew my lifestyle and where I was going, you'd say, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank God he saved you, DiGiorgio.
Hallelujah.
He took one more bad apple off the street. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I cried out to God, you cried out to God, and God in his mercy and in his grace reached down with his strong arm and he pulled us out of the miry clay and he set our feet upon the rock. Hallelujah. That's what happened to Leah. That one instance when Leah was in that room locked and having this gun pointed at her head, ready to die, shook her to the bone, and she was desperate. She said, and she prayed, my God, if you're real, please help me. I don't know how to escape. I need your help. Save me. She was trapped. She was kidnapped. She was a captor. She couldn't get out of this. She knew if I try to run away, he's going to find me and he's going to beat me. And even if I do get away, he's going to find my mom. He's going to find my kid. He's going to kill them. So she cried out to God for the very first time. She said, I know my mom has a relationship with you, Lord. I'm asking for that same relationship. How many of you know that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to answer it? Ever experienced that? Yeah. We say, Lord, please, Lord, deliver me out of this. And I promise to serve you the rest of the days of my life. Hallelujah. And God said, okay. You prayed it genuinely from your heart. Sit back, get ready. Now comes the fun part. Leah was in a car with her abductor, and he started making rounds again, and he came up to these two women. He stopped the car, and he wanted to recruit them as well to get some more money. Leah was in the car. She was contemplating, do I get up? Do I run? What do I do? And he's talking to these two women, and two women say, well, let's talk about it further. He comes back and they have another arrangement and they decide, okay, sure, we'll come work for you. He arranges everything, and on the day that they're supposed to meet, these two women come up and they have him turn around and say, we're undercover police officers. You're under arrest. They lock him up, but they also lock Leah up. And Leah is scared to death, because she knows he still has people on the outside. So she doesn't say anything. She doesn't tell him she's a victim. She doesn't say anything. And she just basically is now given 21 counts of felonies along with him. And she decides for the safety of her own daughter, she's not going to say anything. So she signs an agreement, a plea deal, 7 years in prison. 7 years in prison. She signs that knowing that she's innocent, but she wants to save her daughter and she doesn't want any harm to come to her daughter. So she stays in that prison and something unusual happens. She's given a Bible. And all of a sudden she starts to read the Bible. This is in prison. Can somebody say in prison? God can do things in prison too. She starts reading the Bible in prison. And she's really getting into the Word of God. Suddenly there's a chapel that opens up in prison, and she decides, I'm going to start going to chapel every Sunday. She starts attending church in prison, and she grows closer to Jesus Christ, closer to relationship. 6 months in, she commits her life to Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, she gets up earlier than everybody else in the dorm. She gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and she begins to worship God. And a love starts to fill her heart. And she said, I felt a love from him that I haven't felt from any human being. She said, I felt acceptance from him that I've never felt from a human being. I am going to serve Jesus Christ for the rest of my days. And even if I have to be locked up in here, I'm going to serve you, Lord. When she got to that point, God said, now I can do something because now you're getting solid with me. Suddenly, supernaturally, a letter comes from his family talking about her and how innocent she is. The lawyer gets the letter from his side, shows it to the judge. The judge says, today you're going home. A year later, she went to court. 21 felonies dropped in a single day. And hallelujah, she was doubly free. God rescued her. God stabilized her. God blessed her. God even brought her into a business. Today she's speaking with girls and boys who went through the same experience of being sex trafficked and being able to counsel them as well. Can somebody say redeemed? Redeemed. Rescued. Redeemed. God himself. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us. He alone is the Redeemer. He is alone who can do wonders like that. When she cried out, God, who heard her heart, and the Bible says, when you cry out to me with all of your heart, I will hear you, says the Lord, with all your heart, though. Amen? And that's what Leah did. And God heard, and God answered in a peculiar way, but God had to bring her into relationship with her, even in a prison, in order to get a foundation set, and then the supernatural happened, and Leah today is glorifying Jesus Christ as her Redeemer. Redeemer. Christ has redeemed. We hear about this word, redeem or redemption. Shawshank Redemption, Redemption Day. All these movies have this word redemption in it, but what is the actual meaning of redemption? When you go back into biblical times, it's a very incredible word. It would talk about individuals being bought out of a slave market. When you talk about being bought out of a slave market, they were redeemed out of a slave market. Rick Renner, a wordsmith, a great pastor who actually works in Ukraine and Russia, living there even now, he wrote this. He said, the word redeem is one of the most important words in the entire New Testament. Can somebody say redeem? In New Testament times, slaves could be very costly. When a slave purchaser came to the slave market to look for a new slave, he would meander through the aisles of the marketplace, his eyes roaming all over the slaves for sale as he searched for the one he wanted. After pinpointing the slave who seemed to fit his needs, the purchaser was then allowed to inspect the slave's condition and actually try him out, if you will. You know, we go and have a test drive. We want to see. This is what they were able to do back then. Every slave buyer wanted to check out the merchandise before he or she put the money on the table. Renner goes on to say, if the buyer decided to proceed with the purchase after the inspection was complete, it was then time for the next stage of the process, the moment when the slave was put on the auction block. You have that kind of in your mind, an auction block? They'd be placed up there. And then when the auctioneer really knew that the buyer wanted or set his eye on a specific slave, he would take advantage of that moment. Nothing has changed, has it, in 2,000 years. He would take advantage of that moment and he would up the price. And then the buyer would look at the slave and say, all right, $30. Okay, I'll bid another $40. Auctioneer would say, no, it's going up, $40, $50, $50, $60, $100, whatever the price was. And if the buyer really wanted that slave, there was no price that he wouldn't pay. There was no price that that buyer, can somebody say buyer, wouldn't pay in order to purchase that slave out of the marketplace. That's one concept of what the word redeem means. It talks about the price paid to secure the freedom of a slave or to set free from liabilities or charges. You heard of the word ransom? Remember the, was it Lindbergh case many, many years ago? That was sad. There's the king's ransom. Yeah, whenever anybody is captured, they're kidnapped. The captors then call the family or the police and say, we want $150,000, $250,000. Leave the money here and we will give back your prized possession. And how many of you know that if it was your own child or grandchild, you would do anything if somebody kidnapped your family, your child, you would do anything to get that child back. Anything. No price is too high. If you have it, you take money out of the bank, you would ask people, you would go all over the place and you'd make sure that you'd get that amount of money in order to win that prized possession that you cherish so much back to yourself. Christ went to the marketplace of sin and he saw you and he saw me. And he said, there is no price that is too high that I will not pay in order to buy that person out, to buy that woman, to buy that child, to buy that individual out of slavery, the slavery captive to the devil and to sin. I will buy them out of the marketplace of sin. Christ has redeemed us. Turn to somebody and say, Christ has redeemed me. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, you were bought. You were bought with a price. You were bought. Stamped, paid for. But how? How did Jesus buy us? How did he purchase us? With his life blood. With his life blood. Parents, let me ask you a question. Captor comes and says, we have your child. We'll let your child go if you will give us your life. How much love does it take to do that? Everything you've got. If somebody took my daughter and said, we're going to torture you and we're going to let you live for 48 hours, we'll hang you upside down, we're going to do everything we can to you, but we'll let her go for your life. Exactly. Let's do it. It's going to be the best 48 hours that I've ever spent in my whole life. Amen. A price had to be paid in order to take us out of the marketplace of sin. And the only one who could buy us purely and truly and justify the requirements of God's wrath was Jesus Christ. Because you and I couldn't pay for that. We were sinners. We were under the wrath of God. We were under a curse, and the only way that we could be redeemed is through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. And that's the only way we could be redeemed. The Apostle Peter understood that, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Money couldn't buy you into God's favor. That couldn't do it from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That is the only price that could be paid. The sinless perfection of Jesus Christ, the demands of the righteous law that could only be done was done through Jesus Christ. You and I couldn't live a perfect life and a holy life. Only Jesus. That's why he came down out of heaven to redeem you and me. Paul says, in whom, Christ, in whom we have our redemption through his blood. Even in heaven, the elders are saying, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That's the whole point of redemption. We're being taken out of one place, and they says right here, redeemed by your blood to God. You follow me? The price had to be paid in order for us to have reconciliation. You were bought with a price, yes, with his blood, but from what? You were saved from sin, from error, from evil. Jesus saves us from eternal separation from God. He is the ransom for many, meaning he is in our place. He goes there as the substitute to the righteous demands of the Father. The late Kenneth Weiss put it this way, quote, Jesus paid the ransom of money for slaves of sin who could not pay it themselves, namely by his own precious blood. You've got something to be thankful for, child of God. You were a sinner. You were once darkness. You were alienated from God. You were all of these things before. But God, can somebody say, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for you, he sent Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross to be your substitution. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, you were redeemed. You were saved. You were set free from sin and being held captive by the devil. And you are now free. Free. Just like Leah, you are now free. The devil had his demands on you. You didn't think it. You didn't understand it. But that's why Jesus came to save you. You were bought with a price. For what purpose? To regain you, to get you back to God again, to be reconciled to God. Paul says, or they say it again in Revelation 5:9, for you were slain, Jesus, and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Amen. And you know what I love about the Lord? He doesn't just say, oh, it's just going to be the Jewish people. Oh, it's just going to be the Spanish people. And you would think it's just going to be the Italians. Thank you. We are last. We're really down there. A lot of us, I was really, really down there. Michael Francis, if you're watching, brother, you and I know. Amen. But it says out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still enemies toward God, he sent Jesus Christ to the cross to say, listen, you want a display of my love? Look at my son Jesus. You want a display of how I can, what it takes? Look at Jesus on the cross. This is what it takes to win you to myself and reconcile you to myself. Amen. What a great price. What other God is there that has ever done this? There is none. There is no other God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jesus paid our ransom with his own precious blood. He redeemed us, it says in the scriptures, from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, what does that mean? Well, Paul says in Galatians 3:13 that we were redeemed from the curse of the law, but what does it mean? In a few verses back, he puts it this way. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. All who are trying to live by the Old Testament standards, you're trying to obey every command, every rule, every regulations. If you fail in one point, you are cursed. How many of you keep the Ten Commandments? How many of you covet a little bit? How many of you lie? How many of you put other things before God sometimes? Amen. Thank you. One honest person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The rest of you are all liars, so now you're all sinners, and now you're all... I'm only kidding. Covered, yes. Thank God. But listen, we all mess up. We can't live by the Old Testament. That's why it's called the curse of the law. Listen, the law is good. It's a schoolmaster. It's a teacher that leads us to Christ. It helps us to see, I can't keep this. I can't do this. But there is one who can. His name is Jesus Christ. He kept it. Hallelujah. He kept it. Hallelujah. And besides even keeping it, he went innocently to the cross to die in your for us. We were the guilty ones, and he bore our sins upon his body on that cross. He bled for us. We should have been the ones taking the wrath of God, but he went there instead of you and instead of me, and he redeemed us. Can you say, I'm rescued? Woo! I'm rescued. Glory to God. Out of the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Remember, you were once darkness. But do you know what it says after that? You were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. what a transformation Jesus has made in our lives. You were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Somebody said click. Jesus said click. And the light came. He is the light. And he came to dwell in us. And he brought light to our life. But not only that, why were we bought? Why were we redeemed? For the forgiveness of sins, so that we can be reconciled to God. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom. Brought us into. What a transformation that took place. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I don't know about you, but I had a lot of sins. And when somebody asked me, do you think you'll make it to heaven if you were to die right now? I looked at him and said, absolutely not. I said, I tried to live a good life. The things that I've done, though, I know I'm bound for hell. There's nothing that's going to stop it happening. And he said, pray this prayer with me. Mean it with all of your heart. Ask God for forgiveness. And right now, he will forgive you. I said, right now? He said, yes, right now. The Bible says, if. Some people are too proud to go beyond that if. They want to bypass the if. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the former religion, I thought I had to say prayers and do a bunch of things in order to get forgiveness. And I would do that, but I would never feel forgiveness. But once I became a born-again Christian, when I had a relationship with God, when I messed up, I would go to him. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. No middleman, no prayers. No lighting the candles. If I do my part, God said, I'm right here. I'm ready. God is willing to forgive. God is so merciful. Amen? Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. That's what redemption brought. And it also brought justification. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's this word, Pastor? Justification. Now you're just getting too theological with me. No. Justification means pronounced or treated as righteous. The moment you and I surrendered, the moment that you and I were covered by the blood of Jesus, remember it took his life blood, right? When we asked for forgiveness, when we got into a relationship with God, God made a pronouncement over us. Why? Because he saw the new life that is inside of us. He saw the Spirit of God now inside of us. And he pronounced something over us. And what was that? The verdict is not guilty. Amen. Ever go before a judge and you see that judge take that and he pounces it down and he says, not guilty. The righteous judge of the universe, when we came to him and surrendered our lives to him, he made a pronouncement over us, and that pronouncement is no more guilt. Not that we're going to not mess up again after we come to Christ. Don't get me wrong, because otherwise John wouldn't say to believers, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. No. In that moment, when we first come to God and we surrender everything and we ask him to be Lord of our lives, in that moment, God looks down and says, every sin that you've committed from the time of accountability when you knew right from wrong up to that moment when you surrendered, you're bowed, every single sin is blotted out. I'm going to take it and throw it into the sea of my forgetfulness. Your sins, God says, I will remember no more. It's a brand new start. It's a brand new beginning. You are, somebody say it, forgiven. And because you are forgiven, you are justified in my sight, just as if you have not sinned. Justified, just as if. There's a declaration that God makes over you. God, not the Pope, not Hare Krishna. No. God makes this declaration at that moment. You are forgiven. Not guilty because of what Jesus has done. You are justified, redeemed because of my son. Amen. Nothing that you did. And we're sealed, the Bible says. We keep on being sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does Paul say? and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We've been redeemed, and there is a day coming, hallelujah, when we're going to be in heaven. That's going to be the day of complete and utter redemption, when it is totally, completely done. We leave this earth, hallelujah, and we are in the presence of Almighty God, redeemed, justified, blessed, cleansed, healed, whole, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is why redemption continues to be sung, not only in this life. We don't just sing redemption song here on this earth, but when we get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, amen? What a glorious day that will be. We're going to hear a song. And what's the song going to say? Now, when he had taken the scroll, that is Jesus, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang, somebody say sang, a new song, saying, you, Jesus, are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God.
Hallelujah.
And we shall reign on earth. Hallelujah. That's going to be the song in heaven that we're going to continue to sing. You know why? Because there's still some scars in the Lamb in heaven. He's going to constantly remind us of what he has done in order to win us to himself. Can somebody say redeemed? Can you stand with me? The whole purpose Jesus had in coming here was this. As he was talking to his disciples, as they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus says, you who want to be greatest, you be the servant of all. You who want to be first, you be last. Why? For even the Son of Man came not to be served, not to be deaconed, not to be waited upon, but to wait on others, to serve, and to give his life, to give his life as a ransom, as a payment for many. Can somebody say, Jesus paid it all? When he was on that cross and he said, it is finished, it was finished. He paid the price for your salvation, for your atonement, for deliverance, for heaven. He paid for everything. So why are some of you still trying to buy what Christ has already purchased? Can't do it. You can work all your life. You can make $3 trillion. And it cannot buy your way into heaven. It's only through the redemption that has been purchased for you through Jesus Christ. Leah Rogers was kidnapped. Leah Rogers was used and abused. But Leah Rogers cried out to God. And God in his strong arm came down and redeemed her to himself. Amen. Lord, we thank you for redemption. We thank you for your redeeming power. And Father, right now I ask you to please touch hearts, move by your Spirit. And I really believe that you are doing that right now. Move by your Spirit, Father God, to touch hearts, to touch lives, to motivate individuals, Lord, to draw them, Lord, to pull them towards yourself even closer. Lord, we know that today many knees are going to bow and declare Jesus Christ as Lord. We are trusting that today many hearts are going to be changed and turned to you. That right now, like Leah, who cried out in desperation with reality in her heart, a trueness in her heart to really want to know you, she cried out, Lord, you revealed yourself to her even in a prison cell. But Lord, it's there that she fell in love with you. She fell in love with your word. She fell in love, and she says that she's never experienced any kind of love like your love, because Lord, there is no love like yours. You are love. And the only way we love is because you first loved us. So thank you for that love. Lord, we are praying today for people to be born again by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your blood. Lord, right now, if there's individuals who need forgiveness, let them cry out even in the quietness of their heart, God, forgive me. If there's individuals right now who need to come to you, Lord, let them cry out in the same way, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me for all that I've done. Forgive me for the bad words that I've spoken. Forgive me for what I've done against people, against you, God. Lord, forgive me for being an enemy of you. Forgive me for going against you. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Take control of my heart right now. Save me. Redeem me. I want to be bought by you, Jesus. Buy me. I give you my body. I give you my soul. I give you my life. I ask you to run it now, Lord God. Be in charge. Take over right now. And God will do it if you pray that prayer from the depths of your heart with all sincerity. Lord, seal them with the Holy Spirit of promise. And Lord God, let them know that they are now a child of the living God. Change their lives. Transform them as only you can. And Lord, we give you the praise. Thank you for Leah, Lord. Bless her. Bless her daughter. Bless her son. Bless her family. Lord God, thank you that she is being used, Lord God. And thank you that many of us in this room are Leahs, Lord God, who've been snatched out of the fiery, Lord God, and snatched into your hand. Lord, we give you all the praise. If you have to leave, please do so silently. We're going to sing this last song. But if you have to leave, I just want to say the benediction over you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. And the Lord grant you shalom in Yeshua's name.